Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. Today we have another one of our 10-part series. We're slowly getting, I think we're on number 7 or 8 now, we're slowly getting there, but this is all the different types of learning because as for anyone that hasn't listened to other parts of the series, it's English with Kirsty's 10th birthday this year and I wanted to look at all the different ways in which we learn because I think sometimes we miss some of them. And so today I've brought together a group of people that most of whom I don't know, so it's going to be nice for me to get to know some new people as well, and so will you. And our topic today is learning through conferences. So industry-specific conferences, conferences with colleagues, what you can learn by either attending or presenting at or organising them. And so I've brought together a group of people with different experiences in relation to this topic, and we're going to have a chat about what they've learned, what we can learn, and generally learning and conferences. So let's start by finding out who's here. And I'll ask everyone to give a quick introduction before we get into the questions for the episode. So the person I know the best here or the most is Susie. So we'll start with you.
Hi, my name is Susie Withers. I'm a freelance French to English translator based in the UK in Southampton. And I also do copywriting, proofreading, copy editing of English texts. And I work with a variety of different clients, but one of my most frequent clients is a luxury brand, a luxury French brand that I really enjoy working with.
Hey, thank you. And Anna?
So my name is Anna Lewoc. I'm Polish and I work as a project manager at a boutique translation agency here in Warsaw. I'm also a university lecturer and a teacher of English. I'm a freelance translator and I am the organizer of a few conferences for translators here locally and also one international one. It's called Translation and Localization Conference.
Okay, thank you. And Sylvie?
Hi, I'm Sylvie. I'm an English to Dutch freelance translator. I work mainly in marketing and tourism. Translations and work with agencies and also direct clients. And I'm based in Utrecht in the Netherlands.
Okay, thank you very much. And Aida?
Hi, my name is Aida Ramos. I'm based in Madrid and I'm a freelance translator, English into Spanish, specializing in marketing and translation.
Okay, and Andrea?
My name is Andrea Egeresi, based in Hungary. I'm a Hungarian medical translator with 14 years of experience, working mainly with clinical trial materials. My main clients are direct pharmaceutical and CROs. And I also work as a linguistic validation consultant.
Okay, so now we know who's around the virtual table. So thank you for that, everyone. And we're going to start talking about conferences and what we've learned from them. So I'm going to go around again, probably switch the order a bit and ask everybody to let us know one key thing that you've learned through a conference recently. So something that you personally have learned. And let's start with Anna, because you were mentioning conferences already in your introduction. So you can start this part.
I kind of spoiled it, right? So as an organizer, actually, and this doesn't really only apply to conferences, but to meetings in general. But I think that the most important thing is the kind of people who come to conferences. So if you have, you know, a group of people who just get along well, who are open to new experiences, who want to learn together, who want to network, to meet new people, it's going to be a fun event. But if it's just, you know, kind of let's say vanity fair where everybody's trying to sell their services and, you know, one up one another, then it's not going to be a fun event. And as I said, it doesn't really apply only to conferences, but also to any kind of networking events, even private events, I would say. So the people who take part in the event are actually what makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, and it's finding those right people and creating the right kind of environment. I haven't run conferences in this particular job. I have done it in the past, but thinking about the work that I do now with the networking, it's creating the right environment where I guess the behaviors that you want to see more of can flourish, and ones that you don't want to see have no space. And that people
Absolutely.
understand
Yep.
that. Okay, so we'll come back to a bit more about your conference because I think there are a lot of translators in the audience, the podcast audience. So they probably, if they don't know about it already, we'll talk about that in a bit later to give some
Sure.
information. And we'll also add the link as well if I don't know, this year's conference, has it already taken place?
No, it's actually this year. We are only doing a Polish conference, so a local conference, and the international one comes back next year because right now it's a biannual event, so it takes
Okay.
place every 2 years. But I will gladly link to it in the description of the podcast.
Yeah, there's time to sign up then if it's next year. There's plenty of
Yeah.
time. Okay. Good. And Sylvie, what's something that you've learned from our conference recently?
Well, more or less the same as what Anna said, that it's so much about the people, and a lot of translators are introverts like myself, so I know many translators who are a bit scared to attend conferences live because it's a one big group of strangers, and networking is scary, or that's what many people might think, but we're all a friendly bunch, and basically, I've experienced that once you attend conferences regularly, you become friends with your colleagues quite easily, and it's always a nice international reunion of colleagues and friends, and nobody's gonna bite you. So, just I think just take a leap of faith and just attend, even if you're scared, because you're gonna be welcomed, and you will enjoy it for sure.
Yeah, translators are a friendly bunch. I mean, I'm not one, but I've been like I'm appearing at all kinds of translator events recently because it's helpful for me to understand what's going on in the translation world. But yeah, I've just found some really nice and friendly people, so that's good. But I think it's true, especially if you're going to something in person, it takes a bit more courage maybe because you have to get yourself there, and you're in this room with a lot of people you don't know. So sometimes that is a stepping out of your comfort zone a bit, especially if you identify as more of an introvert. Okay, Andrea, what have you learned?
Well, it might sound cliche, but the most important thing I've learned is that attending conferences now and then is a must. Because, well, some of us might think that, oh, I don't need it. I have enough clients. I have enough work. But it's just so much more than just the tangible benefits that we get clients or we get jobs. It's the boost of confidence, the networking, finding friends, having the courage to go out. So I would definitely recommend to anyone.
Yeah, that's something that we don't really have. I mean, a lot of us working on our own don't have colleagues in the way that we may have had in previous jobs. So it's nice to make new friends, to find people that you can exchange ideas with, maybe help each other. But that's something that you have to work a bit harder at if you are working alone. And I guess this is a nice way to do it because you come across a lot of people whom you otherwise wouldn't have met if you just stayed at home and hid behind your laptop, or as is a bit of a tendency for some of us to do. Okay, Aida?
Well, I couldn't agree more. It's all about the people. It's all about the community. It's all about networking and establishing connections with people you haven't met before. Translators are indeed a really lovely bunch, really friendly ones. So being an introvert as myself is not usually a problem. And what I've learned through the years is that the most interesting conversations are never on the program. These are the conversations that happen around the coffee breaks, after the sessions themselves, when you go out for dinner, in a very improvised manner because maybe you didn't sign up for the official gala dinner, and you gathered a bunch of people, and you ended up going somewhere for something to drink or light bite, whatever. It's all about the people you meet and the shared experiences that you have, and you end up forming friendships that might last many, many years.
Oh, that's so nice. Because sometimes it is the spontaneous things that you didn't expect. You just somebody you got talking to and then found you have a lot in common. And yeah, you never know where that's going to lead. Okay, and Susie, what have you learned?
Well, it's quite interesting that what we've all talked about in terms of what we've learned is not the things that we've learned by going to the
Yeah.
presentations themselves,
Nobody's
actually.
mentioned a presentation.
And I think I can relate to that. You know, I've been to quite a lot of conferences, and although in some presentations there is a sort of a little aha moment where someone will say a little phrase that stays with you, in general, that's not what the conferences are all about. They are about forging connections and finding your tribe, sharing your stories, and just becoming part of a bigger picture, a bigger community. And I think that can really help both in terms of the fact that we are mostly isolated in our work. So we have people that we can reach out to. And also in terms of from a business perspective, people will think of us if we've had a discussion about a certain type of translation that we really enjoy or that we've done lots of, then people will say, ah, if they see an opportunity like that, they will think of you. So it's all about being visible within the community.
Yeah, and it's true, people do think of each other, and it's much nicer if you can't do something to say, I can't help with this, but I know someone who can, and then you've helped the potential client, but you've also helped a colleague, friend as well, who
Exactly.
might be more suited to the project. And yeah, like you mentioned community, I think sometimes when you're not having such a good day, you can feel like, oh, I'm all on my own here, it's terrible. But when if you've got people that you've either met or got to know a bit, and you can have a chat with them, it's nice because it gives you, I mean not everyone who's working with colleagues likes all their colleagues. I certainly had some that I liked more than others when I had colleagues, but it's usually easier to find someone, so it's nice that you can build this network and feel part of a community. So it is interesting. We've talked about the sense of community that is built at conferences. We've talked a little bit about organizing them, but we haven't really talked about speaking at them. And I know at least one of you has spoken at a conference recently, maybe two. So maybe we could talk about that. What was the experience like speaking at a conference for the first time?
I know I was a speaker. I don't know any about anyone else, but
Yeah, I was also recently.
yes, too.
No. I had my first speaking gig as at BP25 conference, translation conference. It was a duo presentation with someone else because I'm a regular attendee of this particular conference, but I was always too scared to present. And but then someone asked me if I wanted to join her, and then I felt I couldn't say no because I did have something to say, but and I felt it would be less scary if we did it together. And again, I found out that translators are very friendly people, and I mean, I've been in the audience at a lot of talks, so I know that when you're attending a talk, everyone wish you the best, and nobody is going to hope that you fail or something. Or so there's really no need to be nervous, even though it's still quite scary. But yeah, it was a lot less scary than I thought it would be. So it was a good experience, and I would like to do it again sometime.
That's always a good sign when you say you want to
Yeah.
do it again, it means that you enjoyed it and
Yeah.
it wasn't as bad. And so yeah. And also, I think
Yeah,
it's really good to get
my
new people because if you've got the same people doing similar presentation, or like if it's always the same faces and same voices, that's not so exciting as a conference attendee. It's always good to bring new people in.
It also might be a bit, when you always have the same faces of the experienced speakers who are, like they have the beautiful presentations and they speak so confidently, and everybody in the audience is like, oh my God, I could never do that. But if you have some of those, less confident people actually do presentations and they are just as cool and just as informative and just as useful as the beautiful ones, the experienced ones, let's say, then, it kind of builds confidence in those people as well, that maybe I have something to say too, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly what encouraged me to try speaking at a conference, was seeing my friends, people who were equally inexperienced as me, who put themselves forward and presented. And I thought, well, maybe I can do that. And the next thing was, well, what on earth am I going to talk about? So I came up with some ideas and discussed it with a colleague who works with ITI, because I spoke at the last ITI conference in Edinburgh. And I said, these are the sorts of things I could talk about. And she said, I think you should do that one. So I applied, and then they offered it to me, and I thought, right, okay, now I've got to do it. So it was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. But and also it was even more terrifying because it was a 2-day conference, and my slot was the final slot on the final day. So I
Oh my
spent the
God.
entire conference in the back of my mind thinking, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. What's the room like? Do you get a glass of water? Will I be shaky if I pick up the glass of water? I was just sort of overthinking everything. But once I did it, the response was absolutely incredible. People sort of mentioning me in LinkedIn posts after the event, and it was really heartwarming to do, and I would like to do it again. And it gave me, a big confidence boost that I can stand in front of a room full of professionals and engage, make an engaging presentation.
And would you do it again?
Yeah, I would do,
Yeah, both of you. That's good.
At the end of the day, it's all about having something to say. When you feel really passionate about something, and there's something in particular you really want to talk about, you feel it needs to be talked about, it gets much easier. I spoke at a local ish conference a couple of years ago, ACETRADS, which is the Spanish National Association. We had this 20th anniversary conference 2 years ago in the Canaries, and I spoke about work-life balance, which is something I feel really, really strongly about. And it was a fantastic experience. It was heartwarming. It was amazing. It was beautiful. And this year I'll be speaking at Met conference in Barcelona about burnout, which is also something that I do feel really, really strongly about, and that makes all the difference.
I think these are topics that are relatable as well, that people can. I think sometimes people also think that you have to talk about really technical subjects that are have a very specific link to the profession, but it's that there is so much more to us as individuals, as people, that and a lot of the things that we know about that are linked are also things that people can relate to, and conversations that need to be had, because sometimes they're just kind of swept under the carpet, like talking about burnout. Sometimes maybe people don't feel as comfortable doing that, but if we don't talk about it, then how do we help people? How do we help ourselves?
Exactly.
And Anna, in terms of getting speakers to come to a conference, is it sometimes hard to find them, or are there lots of people who are willing and interested to be a speaker?
Actually, there is a group of people who are always applying to be a speaker at conference.
Okay.
But the thing is that, as we already mentioned, you can't really have, the same faces all the time. So you really have to, let's say, carefully compose the roster, because on the one hand, you don't want to have, the same faces every year, but on the other hand, you want to have a few of those, stars to encourage other people to maybe apply. One thing actually that I noticed is that a lot of people who might have something to say are actually, afraid of applying as a speaker because, oh, what they would think of my, expertise and so on. But the thing is that, the worst thing that can happen is that the conference will write to you, not this year, right? So it's like that's the worst. It's not like they're not going to, publicly humiliate you or anything like that, right? We've also had situations in which people applied to be speakers, but then for various reasons had to resign. And I'm pretty sure that every conference organizer, has a protocol for such a situation. So, so it's also not such a big deal. Yeah, I would strongly encourage everybody who would like to speak at a conference to just apply and see where it takes you. It might be a great adventure.
I think that's really good advice, and I would encourage anyone who's listening and who's thinking about that. And also, like Susie was saying, like talk it through with someone if you've got a couple of ideas, of someone who's going to be supportive and not just somebody who's going to say, oh, that's a terrible idea, you should never do that. Choose wisely. But there's something about talking with someone else about an idea that you have that makes it real. And then the next step is applying, and or don't talk to anyone, but if you need someone to give you a bit of encouragement, a bit of support, then that can go a long way in somebody helping you and asking you, so did you submit your proposal then? And then that gives you a bit of accountability as well. And then you never know where it's going to go. So I want to open this up a bit. I'm not going to ask individual people, anyone who's got something to say can add it, but I was thinking about the whole range of courses, of conferences that there are, and some people saying that some of the really big, well-known ones are quite expensive. And I was just wondering what other options there are for people that don't have the budget to go to one of the larger, more expensive conferences. Have you seen other types of conferences, smaller ones, online ones, hybrid ones? What's available?
Something that a couple of conferences I've been to are called the Unconference. You may have heard of them. I've been to two of them in Cardiff in Wales. I think there has been three of them altogether. And in terms of the ticket price for the conference, it's very low. So it's probably under £50, I think, the ticket price. I think some of the cost comes from attending in person. So if it's in a place that you have to travel a long way, you might have to fly there, take the train, you're going to have travel costs. If it's over a couple of days, you're going to have accommodation costs. So with any conference, with the Unconference, for example, I still have to travel to Cardiff. I still have to stay over probably a couple of nights because it takes a while to get there. But if you have friends who live nearby, that's obviously a really good thing to do. If you have, you could team up with friends and all hire, like rent an apartment, an Airbnb or something, so that you're cutting down your accommodation costs. But yes, some of the big conferences like ITI are very expensive, particularly if you're not a member. But even if you are a member, it's quite an investment. And I had to travel to Edinburgh, which is a long way away. Even though, as a speaker, my ticket was paid for, I still had costs on top of that. So it is something that you have to think about. But the Unconference, if you're local to the area where the Unconference is happening, then that's a really good option. And it's very different from a conference in that there are no formal presentations. You just have a list of topics that people suggest and vote on, and then you have round table discussions about those topics. So it's a more of a peer-to-peer where you can contribute as much or as little as you feel comfortable with, but I think it's more interactive than some of the major conferences.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of online conferences these days, or hybrid ones, or regional smaller ones. And I know that some international conferences are not held in capital cities, for instance, which are usually very expensive, but in other places that are still attractive enough to visit, because I know that those people who attend the international conferences, they usually stay a bit longer and do some sightseeing and things like that. So
Yes.
I think it can be also partly be your holiday, maybe. So people bring their family or their spouse, or and yeah, what Susie said, like I know that some people get an Airbnb with some friends, or and you can also skip the official side events like official dinners and lunches and things, and only sign up for the sessions. That helps too.
Yeah, or even, go the other way and only sign up for the extra events, right? Which
Right.
if, yeah,
There
I mean,
are
if
people
the
who do
tickets,
that.
yeah, if the people, if the ticket for the conference is, quite expensive, but, like some workshop or maybe, some fringe event sounds, sounds good and it's much cheaper, then I mean, why not, right? You can meet great people there too. And I totally agree that be on the lookout for smaller events, especially if there is a professional association in your area, or in your country or in your, region or something. Then check out their events because they are often discounted or even free for members of this organization. So maybe it's worthwhile to not only sign up to the organization and get some news like professional news, industry news, but also to be able to participate in fun events with other people like you.
Yeah, it's true that big international conferences can get really, really pricey, both because of the price of the ticket itself, but also airfares, accommodation, and so on. And nowadays, there are lots of hybrid and online events that people can access that can save a considerable amount of money. But at the end of the day, nothing beats face to face. So to whoever who has never been to one of these conferences or face-to-face events and thinking about it, I would say definitely. To me, it's a must, and I would advise to budget for one at least once a year. It doesn't need to be big, it doesn't need to be international, but it needs to be like physical, in person. Always check out your local association's events. Something might be going on in a city near you. You might even put yourself forward to organize something. But absolutely nothing beats face to face, I think.
Yeah, I would add to that. I think online is great. I think if you're really interested in the talks and if you want to follow those, it is quite hard to stay focused on an online event. You can be very easily distracted away from the talk. I know I've tried them myself, but you're really not going to get those opportunities to connect with people in person. I think they try to emulate that with online conferencing software where you have little networking groups, but I'm not sure how well that really works. But if you are looking for, specific presentations about specific topics, I think the online can work really well, but not for the social aspect.
But then I guess you really have to say, okay, I'm attending the conference, I'm doing it online, but I'm not going to have my email open and my LinkedIn open. And because I was trying to follow something last week, and it was a presentation. I can stay focused if it's like a networking event, because it's you're participating, but I really had to stop myself from doing other stuff during the presentation, because I thought, oh, I can pay attention, it's fine. But you're not paying attention if you're splitting your attention between two different things. It's you're not
Exactly.
Especially if you pay for it, then you're not getting your money's worth
Yeah.
if you're getting distracted by doing other things.
Yeah, and it's also useful, when after the presentation you can talk with somebody, about it and like, oh, what did you like most? And, like, what's your take on that? And so on, right? And usually you can't really do that in online conferences. I mean, I've done that too because, pandemic. And yeah, as Susie said, that the solutions for facilitating online networking Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, but it's definitely not like the real life experience. So as Aida and Susie said, and like everybody here, I think agrees, everybody should just, try to go to at least one in-person event a year, just, to see other faces and to be a bit less hungry for human contact, as we are, I think, all freelancers and don't really have, the water cooler conversations. So that's your opportunity to have a water cooler conversation.
And
Yeah,
that's
I
yeah.
definitely agree with all of you. I have experience with larger conferences because there aren't any local ones here because I live on a, in a very isolated part of the country, so I don't really have the opportunity to travel to Budapest, but I tend to attend large conferences that are even pricier, but at least I attend one, two, or at every 2 or 3 years, because it's more worthwhile than attending smaller ones. At least that's my personal experience, because they give you so much more opportunity to meet people, to build relationships. I've attended online conferences too, but no breakout room can compare to the discussions you are having over a coffee break or during the dinner. So I definitely recommend attending in-person events.
Okay, so now if you've got somebody who's new to the whole conference scene and they feel a bit overwhelmed because, okay, they're looking at what's available, big ones, small ones, hybrid ones, in-person ones, and there's a lot of information. What criteria would you suggest people think about when they're making the decision about which one they're going to budget for, which one they're going to save for? What helps you to decide? Okay, one of you organizes your own conference, so you're going to go to that, but as well as other ones, like what makes you decide? What's most important for you when deciding which events to attend?
Lots of different things like when and where is it, how much does it cost, the program, obviously, who's speaking and about what. Yeah, those things mostly for me.
The first ITI conference I went to, what drove me to go was essentially FOMO, fear of missing out, because so many of my colleagues on LinkedIn were talking about it, and I just thought, I think I need to go to this. It's a silly reason, but
No, it's not. It really
it
isn't.
works.
No.
It's just, I wanted to meet people in person for the first time. And it was fascinating. You get to find out how tall everyone is, because
Oh
you
yeah,
can't tell
that's true.
online.
And then you're like, I actually once had such a situation when I was doing the reception desk at my conference, and one of the, let's say, better known people in the industry just came in, and instead of saying, "Oh, hello, how lovely to meet you in person," I was like, "I thought you were taller." Don't say that. Yeah, but so yeah, you find out how tall everyone is, and like, I mean, just even meeting the people you have already met on LinkedIn or on Facebook, right? Like meeting them in real life is really something that's priceless.
You can actually have a hug if that's your thing, like you can actually I don't know, there's something nice about being in the same space and not having a limit. Like if you have a coffee, like, oh, we have to be back in 10 minutes, it's like you can make the time stretch as long as you want it to, if you find that you're really getting on with someone.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to go to the presentations, right? But of course, yeah, I would say, like, even as an organizer, I would say that when choosing conferences, even though, as we agreed, the program, the presentations aren't really the most important thing, at conferences, it's kind of useful to see if the conference vibes with you. I mean, for example, in Poland, we have this Association of Legal Translators, which is, cool and everything, but when I'm not a legal translator. I look at the program and I'm like, oh my God, this sounds so boring. But
You're
it
not going to
sounds
enjoy
boring to me, while to my friend who is a legal translator, she's like, oh, I would go to this one and this one and that one and that one. I'm like, what? Why? So, you definitely need to find something that vibes with you.
it.
Yeah, sometimes it's the keynote speaker. So the CIOL, which is one of the UK associations, they often have Susie Dent, who is a sort of TV personality in the UK. She's a lexicographer. So she gives these amazing talks about words and etymology and usage. And she's just a very charming speaker. So sometimes just that will be a draw for people to apply to attend, even if the rest of the talks don't look that interesting.
Yeah, sometimes it's worth paying, the 1,000 euros or something for just to see this one person, right? Because it might be once in a lifetime that you do.
The CIOL translator days are actually quite reasonable because they're just one day. And if you live close enough to London to get to London and back in one day, you don't have the accommodation costs as well. So that's quite nice. And you can book ahead a train fare and ahead and get a reasonable cost. So that's one that I regularly go to because it is financially quite sort of suitable for people who are on more of a budget.
I went there to London for the first time this year, and I don't live in the UK, but I mean, who says no to a trip to London, right? I turned it into a workation, sort of. So I also met up with a few clients of mine in the London area that week. I stayed a whole week and did some sightseeing as well. So basically, all the costs of my accommodation were business costs, business expenses, and yeah, I had a great time networking at the Translators Day and meeting my clients, working a little bit, exploring London, and yeah, it was
Yeah,
good
that's a really
fun.
good idea.
Well, for me, it has been really difficult to choose conferences because I'm a medical translator, and every time I went to a conference, most of the people attending were working in marketing or more general topics. I always felt so left out or not that involved, but thankfully this year, the first conference for medical translators will take place, so I really can't wait it. Hopefully
Oh,
it
good.
will be so even a general conference was a huge experience, so I can't even imagine how useful and beneficial will be to attend one for medical translators.
Yeah, and I don't know whether it's too late to sign up for that, but if anyone wants to put any links to future conferences that they're attending or think would be good, we can add those to the page as well. I mean, that will go out of date at some point, but for anyone who's listening to the podcast now, they can check those out. And this question wasn't on the list of questions, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I think it's interesting. One of my other meetings, we were talking about this topic, and one of the attendees said that she also goes to events where her potential clients are going to be. So not just ones for translators, but ones where she might meet people who would be ideal for purchasing her services. So I was wondering, do any of you do that? Do you go to like industry specific, as in not your industry, but the industry that you translate for, specific events or conferences, or has anyone had any experience with that?
I've been to a couple of trade fairs in France, in Paris. Yes, so I have tried that. I haven't had a great deal of success, but I think it does take perseverance, and you do have to make a lot of effort researching the event, finding out who's there, trying to make appointments if you can, and also try and make yourself visible. So go to talks, because a lot of these trade fairs often have talks on the side, where you can turn up and actually try to think of a really good question to ask that will make people notice you and think, oh, this person knows what they're talking about, and make you sort of memorable. And I think I've heard advice from some very good translators, about very experienced translators, saying be the only translator in the room, and then that makes you memorable. if someone needs a translator in that sector.
That's why I end up being the only language trainer in a lot of rooms that I'm in, because it makes you memorable. But no,
Yes.
it's true. It's something that a lot of people don't think of doing, but I can see how it can work, and I know it has worked for some people. Somebody else wanted to comment. Who was it?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I have been researching and checking events that are industry specific, but not for translators. And if we think that big conferences for translators are pricey, then you don't want to check conferences for pharmaceutical companies because it's just over the moon. So I don't think I will attend one in the near future. So it's crazy.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. The trade fair that I went to, it was a trade fair, not a conference. So it was free for visitors to attend. I had to get to Paris and stay in Paris, but yeah, I think it's a real investment to go to an industry conference. And like you say, the prices can be eye-watering.
Yeah, plus they are quite hard on introverts.
Oh
Because
yeah.
breaking the
Yeah.
ice in a translator conference is much, much easier. But when it comes to client conferences and trade fairs, the connection is not going to be that instant. So it's going to require a lot more effort on your part.
Yeah, that's probably why my attempts to go to trade fairs haven't been that successful.
But at least they're free or they're cheaper. The trade fair route is going to be a cheaper route than the actual conference route. If the
Yeah.
visitors don't have to pay, then you're paying with your time. And if you have to stay there, although you can find lots of other things to do in Paris, I'm sure. But yeah, I guess it does take effort to kind of put yourself out there and go and say hi to people, which is maybe harder in an environment where you don't know the people because you haven't been chatting to them already on LinkedIn. I guess with the translator conferences, you may already know some of the people by their name, at least, if not by meeting up with them already. So that probably helps. But it's another option for making those contacts and getting your name out there.
Yeah, there's nothing to stop you looking at the attendee lists for these events because they are published in advance. So you can have a look down the list and see if you can see anyone that looks interesting and perhaps connect with them on LinkedIn before you go and say, it would be great to catch up with you at this event.
And if you have
Yeah.
the budget, you can even think, like talking about
Talking
the
about the
trade
trade.
fairs and stuff. So you can even think about setting up an, you can think about setting up an exhibition booth, and advertise your services like that if the exhibition booths are, of course, reasonably priced and if you have budget for that. But that would work especially well, I would say, if you are a niche translator when well in this case. But it's like if you are one of the few, I don't know, Polish Catalan translators in Warsaw, right? Then it would be worth it to go to a trade fair where you can meet a lot of Catalan people, right? Because they might want to expand their businesses to Poland. So, that could be your time to shine.
Find a way to set yourself apart and to show how you add value. Yeah, lots of ways to be creative, and I guess it takes whatever we're talking about, whether it's speaking at a conference or going to something new or setting up a lot of one-to-one meetings. I actually find sometimes the things that happen after the event are as interesting, if you just make the connection at the event itself and then follow up later if you're somebody that enjoys more like one-to-one conversations in away from all the noise and activity, that can also work. Sometimes it's just enough to make that first connection and so that people know who you are. And then afterwards you can always go back and say, it wasn't so much time at the conference, but how about we get together or get together online and then do it that way if you're more of an introvert and you feel more comfortable like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so any final words of advice to the listeners about what they could learn, what they could do if we're thinking about learning through conferences?
Well, if you can afford it, then I would recommend attending international conference. Why? Because when I attend a conference in the Netherlands and I do English into Dutch, then most of the colleagues who will be there will also be doing English into Dutch. Maybe they have a different specialization, but most of the people here work from English. But when I attend an international conference, I'm only one of the few people who does Dutch, and suddenly my language is exotic, or at least less common. And when people, international colleagues, see some a job with Dutch, they will think of me, and vice versa as well. I know lots of people from Italian people, Spanish, French, German, any language, so I will think of them as well. Well, in my own little bubble in the Netherlands, there's fewer language combinations, and so I think this really helps with networking and getting jobs through your network.
Yeah, I
Good
would
point.
have this piece of advice that, just be open and remember that, nobody is like better than you, let's say. It's like everybody is just a person, and everybody was at the conference for the first time at some point in their lives. And it's just gonna be fun. Just go with the flow and, try to have fun.
Yeah, I like that. Anyone else?
I think the amount of input and information that you often get at these events can be really overwhelming. So my advice would be to allow yourself enough time to take it all in, both during the conference itself and also after that. During the conference, as Anna mentioned earlier, you really don't have to go to absolutely everything. Sometimes you feel you have to make the most of the money you invested. But you don't have to. You need to select the sessions you're going to really carefully. Feel free to skip whatever that doesn't resonate with you, and take some time to breathe, be on your own, take notes, or chat to the next person. And after the conference, I would also recommend taking a couple of days off to allow like all the new ideas to settle, allow yourself enough time to take notes, engage and connect with people, and have some time to take it all in.
I would totally agree with that, Aida. The first time I went to the ITI conference, I could not sleep after I came home. My mind was just buzzing. And the thing about many conferences these days is that they all of the sessions are recorded and you can watch back. So if you decide not to go to a live session, you can still watch it back afterwards. They will give you plenty of time after the event to go back and recap on things, because you will be you might well find it overwhelming, particularly us introverts, and all of the peopling that we have to do, it can take its toll. So be kind to yourself.
I think there's a lot to process. I haven't been to a conference this year, but I was thinking when I went to Berlin, I met a lot with my clients, and there was like a lot of people. It was fun. I had a really good time, but then I came back thinking, okay, what do I want to do differently now? What am I going to change? There's so many questions, and that wasn't even a conference. So I can't imagine how much more it would be if you're getting a lot of, actual information from talks as well. So, and also maybe no big decisions initially. Afterwards, come back and give yourself time to like really think everything through and what you want to do as a result. Because I guess the you can talk about what you've learned is what you learn through the conference itself and through the experiences, but it's also what you've learned because learning often leads to action. And then, what do you want to do? Because learning information is great, but it's what you do with that information that really counts and can make a change for you and in your business. So it's like, how do you want to implement the learning? And that can sometimes take a bit of time to figure that out and what it means for you. Okay, well, thank you everybody for coming and for sharing your experiences with us. And it's been really good to speak with you and to get to know some of you for the first time. And yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what the listeners have to say. So please share your comments and ideas in the comments under the podcast. We'd be interested to know what you think as well. And yeah, thanks everyone, and enjoy your future conferences.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Kirsty.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.